This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
88% of the workweek is spent communicating, so it's important your team does it well. Enter Grammarly. Grammarly's AI helps teams communicate clearly the first time. It shows you how to make words resonate with your audience, helps with brainstorming, and lets you instantly create and revise drafts in just one click. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who use Grammarly to move work forward. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise ready AI.
Hey kids, do you like wrestling? Well, we like wrestling too. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Myself and Chris Novembrino kind of doing a lazy river of wrestling criticism, going through the news and whatever happened in stateside television wrestling. And also, you know what? Sometimes we just like to watch old stuff and talk about that too. Love for you to give us a listen if you haven't already. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Gentlemen's Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Jesse Collings. I'm recording this episode today because I just had a hot take, or just a take I've been thinking about for the last few days. And I don't have a guest, but I thought it might be good just to get it out in audio form. So this will probably be a shorter podcast episode, just as I want to talk about something. And obviously, the title of the episode is a hot take about Bryan Danielson. And my hot take about Bryan Danielson is that over the last 6 months or so, Bryan Danielson has been really selfish, and that he has been a selfish professional wrestler. And the work that he's done, while in some instances quite good, and pretty much all of his matches were excellent to outstanding, this whole final 6 months of his career, this whole little final countdown thing he did not help AEW really at all. And when I'm reflecting on it, when I'm looking back on it, I think a lot of the stuff that he did didn't work in the way that it was intended to work for. And it ultimately comes across as really self-serving and frankly, selfish. Now, that's probably going to come as a surprise to a lot of people that I think that way. And Bryan Danielson's reputation as a wrestler throughout his career has been one of someone that was really unselfish, right? In his time in AEW, he has been remarkably unselfish as a performer. He has, you know, put over a bunch of guys. He didn't win the world title until like the very last little run he's had here. He has been a team player. He's really highly regarded by all of his coworkers. Tony Khan obviously values him really highly. Pretty much everyone in pro wrestling values Bryan Danielson really highly. And I think like that reputation is earned. Like, I don't think it's fake or anything like that, even though I do think he's been selfish over the last few months. And I think of the lot of the work he has put in, underachieved. I think that he is generally, in the scope of things, an unselfish professional wrestler. But I do think that there's been some serious problems with the way he has conducted himself as a performer over the last 6 months or so. And I think that bears addressing, because I also think it explains a lot about what's going on in AEW right now, the way some people feel about AEW at the moment. And so basically, Bryan Danielson has been, let's assume that Bryan Danielson has a lot of creative control over his career, right? Tony Khan is not telling him exactly what to do every time. I'm assuming that Bryan Danielson is making a lot of these decisions on behalf of himself. And so if that turns out to just totally not be the case, and that his hands were tied and he just did whatever, you know, Tony Khan or other members of the creative team thought he should do, and that none of this was him, then I'll have to recant my selfishness label. But I'm going to assume, based on what we know, that a lot of this stuff that's happened has been at his own discretion. Okay. I think that one of the major issues with Bryan Danielson has been he's wanted to have his cake and eat it too over these last 6 months. And what I mean by that is that on one hand, he's wanted to tell this story where his body is completely falling apart. He is, you know, in these super physical matches. He's taking a pounding. He's wrapping himself in kinesio tape. His neck is all messed up. He's going to need neck surgery. He's barely clinging on to his professional wrestling career. And this is kind of his last gasp because once he won the title and after he loses the title, that's it. He's going to be done from full-time professional wrestling. And that has been the story that he's been trying to tell. And he's told that story pretty much for his entire AEW run. I think working on the real life setbacks he's had in his career due to injury and kind of he was retired for several years and working off of fans' emotions and trying to work that into his stories. And for the most part, has been really successful in that. He's an excellent seller. He's a really good babyface in that role. So the idea that, you know, as an individual performer, he's quite good at this. He's good at selling his neck. He's good at coming out and acting like he's injured. He's good at playing on fans' emotions. All of that stuff is really good. The issue is he wants to tell that story, but at the same time, over the last several months, he has been trying to speed run in all of these big wrestling matches into the small window that he has given himself to kind of close out his quote full-time wrestling career. And it's contrasted with the idea that his body is falling apart. And everyone knows that I'm a big Nigel McGuinness fan. I think a perfect example of this is he does this angle where Jon Moxley chokes him out with or suffocates him with a plastic bag at the end of All Out. And the idea was he's off TV, he's off screen for a few weeks, selling that his career might be over. We don't know what shape he's in. He was, you know, he lost oxygen. He was, you know, carted out of the building, like on a gurney, not moving, and all this kind of stuff like that. So the idea is that he was near death. So he's doing this feud with Nigel. So Nigel McGuinness is also doing this feud where he is calling out Bryan Danielson. He wants a title shot with Bryan Danielson. The whole thing was messed up because, remember, creatively, you know, Darby Allin was supposed to wrestle Bryan Danielson at Grand Slam. Then it was kind of said that, oh, Bryan Danielson might not be ready at Grand Slam. So why don't you, you know, Jon Moxley, why don't you, you know, Darby's going to put a shot on the line against Jon Moxley because Danielson presumably is not going to be at Grand Slam. Then like later in that episode, it turns out Danielson might be at Grand Slam because Nigel's calling him out. The whole thing was messed up. And I don't know how much of that is like Tony's creative being scattered or how much of it is Danielson wanting to sell the injury, but also come back and wrestle, because that would seem to be in line with what I feel like has happened over the last 6 months for Bryan Danielson. And so I'm not really sure which is the reality there, but that's kind of here nor there. But so Nigel has this a couple weeks where he is doing this build for his match against Bryan Danielson at Grand Slam. And it's a one-man build. Bryan Danielson is nowhere to be seen. Bryan Danielson is not on screen. He's not cutting any promos. He's not there via satellite. There's no pre-tapes. There's really nothing. So Nigel is kind of having to carry this whole feud by himself. He's coming out, he's cutting promos, he's talking about his career, he's talking about Bryan Danielson. And for people like me, Nigel has immense credibility because I've seen his ROH run. I'm a huge fan of him. I am very keenly aware of the rivalry between him and Bryan Danielson. He, of course, has been teasing it a lot on commentary over the last year and a half that he's been around AEW. And so, like, I understand that part of it, but I really think the feud in general was hurt by the fact that Bryan Danielson was never around to get in the ring, to cut a promo, to go face-to-face with Nigel McGuinness and talk to, you know, their rivalry from his perspective. And I think that would have given Nigel a lot more credibility to have that face-to-face and to hear those words coming out of Danielson's mouth. Because if you don't know all that Ring of Honor history, it's like, why should you be excited about Nigel McGuinness calling out Bryan Danielson if you've maybe never seen him wrestle, don't really know, you know, how good those matches were, don't really know what he meant to Bryan Danielson's career necessarily? It would have been so much more impactful Bryan Danielson was there to give a lot of extra credibility to Nigel when he's coming out and cutting these promos. But Bryan Danielson was nowhere to be seen. He was selling his injuries, right? He had been suffocated at All In. And there was this whole idea that we don't even know if he's going to show up at Grand Slam. So of what happens at Grand Slam, Bryan Danielson shows up and he's fucking fine. You know, maybe he sold a little bit, but, you know, the announcers are talking about, we don't know what kind of shape he's in, but he goes out there and he wrestles and he's having, you know, his one of his final dream matches, which is this rematch against Nigel. And he has a really good match and he's totally fine. Right. He was suffocated by this bag, but we didn't know, you know, what his physical state was. There was no update on him, but he's fine. Next week, he wrestles like a 35-minute world title match against Kazuchika Okada. Again, he's fine. So on one end, Danielson is trying to sell all these injuries to try to put over, you know, the Moxley heel group and all that. But on the other end, he's fine because he's wrestling all these big matches and he's winning these matches and he's showing grit and heart and determination and all this kind of stuff. And I think that it was not for the best. He should have picked one direction or the other. I think the Nigel feud in match was, while I enjoyed the match, I think it would have been a lot better and that feud would have been a lot better if Danielson was around to participate in it instead of just showing up and beating him on the day of Grand Slam. And, you know, he wrestled the Okada match. Again, the Okada match is a really good match. It had a bad finish, but I thought it was really good. I know some people maybe were disappointed in it overall, but I thought it was a good match. Like, this isn't an issue with him in the ring. But at the same time, he was supposed to be suffocated with a bag a few weeks earlier. And then all of a sudden he's wrestling Nigel McGuinness. And the next week he's wrestling, you know, an elite wrestler in a 35-minute world title match. So what are you doing here? Are you selling it or are you fine? Because I don't think he did a good job with that at all. For as good of a professional wrestler as he is, I don't think that was the correct decision. And again, I'm operating on the behalf that a lot of this is coming from Danielson's own creative vision of how he wanted to wrap up his you know, full-time career. We can actually go back a little bit further to find a very similar example. Remember when Will Ospreay wrestled Bryan Danielson? That was at, I believe, Dynasty. And so they do that match, right? And it ends, great match, one of the best matches in AEW history. And it ends when Will Ospreay hits the Tiger Driver 91 on Bryan Danielson. And they do this huge kind of like, oh my God, Bryan Danielson is dead. He dropped him right on his neck. You know, he's getting, you know, he pinned him and then he's getting stretchered out. And, you know, we don't know if Bryan Danielson's career is going to be over. Will Ospreay is doing this whole angle where he can't, do the Tiger Driver anymore because he doesn't know what kind of damage it's going to cause. Look what he did to Bryan Danielson. But then 2 weeks later, Bryan Danielson's back. He's fine. Like, and at the time, it was kind of preposterous. You know, Will took the heat for trying to sell the idea that he's afraid to do the Tiger Driver 91 because with one of the main examples being like, look, Bryan Danielson took the Tiger Driver and he's fine. You know, he was out for a few weeks, but it's not like his career is over. So why is Will Ospreay so upset about it? And like, Will is taking shit for that. But really, I think that's on Bryan Danielson, who wants to sell the Tiger Driver by putting himself in a stretcher, because that's what he's obsessed with doing. He wants to sell the idea that his career could be over at any time. But at the same time, he's only out for a few weeks and then he's coming back and he's wrestling fine. And again, I think it's preposterous that Will took shit for that, because Bryan Danielson didn't hold up his end of the story in terms of selling that, because he had to come back and wrestle. And I don't have a problem with Bryan Danielson coming back and wrestle. But again, there has to be a medium here where he's either selling this life-altering injury that he supposedly got from taking this move, and he's out for a long time, and he's cutting promos, but I mean, I don't know if I can ever come back. Doctors still haven't cleared me. Or if just a few weeks later, he's out there wrestling on Dynamite. There has to be a medium there. And that's, again, I just haven't clicked with Bryan Danielson these last 6 months. I think because of that, because I've been confused on what kind of story is he actually trying to tell, because the two key elements of it seem to be conflicting with one another.
88% of the workweek is spent communicating, so it's important your team does it well. Enter Grammarly. Grammarly's AI helps teams communicate clearly the first time. It shows you how to make words resonate with your audience, helps with brainstorming, and lets you instantly create and revise drafts in just one click. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who use Grammarly to move work forward. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly, enterprise ready AI.
And that's where I think, look, the Wembley Stadium show, him wrestling Swerve, winning the world title, I thought that that was really good. It was a great match. It was a great moment. I was happy for Bryan Danielson. I was like, this is great. Bryan Danielson won the world title. I was one of the people that was probably on in favor of like that being the Swerve Hangman match, but what they ended up doing worked out totally fine. And so that was fine. I didn't have any problem with Bryan Danielson being champion. But then we shifted into, and he put his career on the line, which I thought was a good angle in terms of just getting extra interest. It kind of, I think, telegraphed the finish to me. But at the same time, I thought it was really effective in making everything more emotional and making that match as good as it was the real stakes that Bryan Danielson put on the line. But then after that, I felt like we really disintegrated, like I mentioned, with the Nigel match. And to this thing where Bryan Danielson, you know, every time he put the title on the line, he was putting his career on the line. Well, he wasn't really putting his career on the line. He was putting his full-time career on the line. Although sometimes he said, my career is on the line, when he was talking about how he was going to step down from pro wrestling after he lost the title. So it became this kind of awkward game where it was unclear, and it's still unclear, of is Bryan Danielson really retired? I don't think he is. I think he's done with a full-time schedule. But what does that mean? Is he going to come back in a few weeks? Is he going to come back in a few months? Is he going to come back next year? What is actually the stakes here? That, okay, so Bryan Danielson, he's probably not going to wrestle like 50 matches a year now, but is he going to wrestle 5? 10, 3, 1, 20, who knows? We don't know that. Those stakes were not made clear to us. And again, I feel like this is a, you want to have your cake and eat it too kind of moment, where Bryan Danielson wants the drama of putting his career on the line, but he doesn't actually put his career on the line. He knows that he's not actually going to be able to put his career on the line because he's never going to actually retire, yet we're forced to live in this world where we have to interpret this drama as if, oh my God, Bryan Danielson is going to retire if he loses this match. But no, he's not. He can't even put that properly on the line. So we have this guy who is like maybe going to retire if he loses the title. So we have this match against Moxley at WrestleDream. And again, I thought the match was pretty good. I'm probably on the lower end than most people, but it was still a very good match. I don't rate matches by stars anymore, but I would say it's probably around a 4-star match. I know some people thought it was like the match of the year and things like that, which is understandable. It, like I said, I thought it was pretty good, but I'm probably on the lower end of that. But the issue that I have with it is that I thought the match was good, but the crowd was into Danielson, but they weren't really understanding like what was on the line. Like, okay, Moxley beat Danielson. He won the title. Okay, Danielson's career is over? Question mark? Nobody really knows, because again, there's so much ambiguity about what was actually on the line here. Like, and how much are we going to see Bryan Danielson in the future? It wouldn't surprise me at all if like Bryan Danielson has a match between now and the end of the year. Like, I don't think he's gone for like a super long time, because what I've been told by Bryan Danielson's actions is that he pretty much wants to keep wrestling, and he's not going to sit on the sidelines forever to sell this thing. You know, if he's physically healthy and capable of wrestling, he's probably going to wrestle again, probably pretty soon, probably sooner than a lot of people think, because the story that he's been telling us this year is that he doesn't sell these things for that long. He's going to come back and he's going to be fine. Even though Bryan Danielson, you know, Wheeler Yuta choked him out and suffocated him with the bag again. What did that teach us? Well, the bag only keeps Bryan Danielson out for like a couple weeks. He's going to come back and he's going to be fine. That's the story that we've been told by AEW so far. And that's what's probably going to happen to Bryan Danielson. I don't think he's gone for a super long period of time. Why would I? So that's why I have had a hard time with this Bryan Danielson run. It's probably why I didn't like the match that much when, you know, I shouldn't say not that much, but, you know, the ending of that match felt so flat to me. I wrote about it earlier this week for voicesofwrestling.com. You know, Moxley puts him in a chokehold and the referee calls for the bell and that's it. Bryan Danielson's career is over. The crowd is kind of shocked. They're not really sure what to do or say. I thought it came across to me like they didn't know how to react because they're really uncertain about what this actually means to Bryan Danielson. I know other people have said that they think it was just the crowd was so shocked because they didn't expect him to lose. And then they saw this heat heavy angle closing off the pay-per-view. I can't get there with that thought. I think it has more personally to do with the idea that Bryan Danielson, like we don't know where we're going to see him in the future. So we don't really know if his career is going to be over or not. And so that's where I'm having a hard time with him over these past 6 months. And I think it's kind of become ridiculous when people talk about Bryan Danielson, like, oh, he didn't want to be the world champion. Oh, like Tony had to, like, you know, drag him kicking and screaming to be the world champion. And maybe there's some truth to that. Maybe he didn't want the world title. But what I do know is over these past 6 months, Bryan Danielson has been responsible for some of the biggest logic gaps in AEW, that he has controlled the world title and main event scene for the last few months. The fans seem kind of confused about what's going on with him and whether or not he's going to show up to certain shows or what condition he's going to be in, but then he's fine. It's doing these really heat heavy beatdown angles, but then kind of undoing them by just coming back and being fine a few weeks later. It's all been kind of confusing, and AEW has a lot more issues that probably contribute to what we're seeing, declining ratings, declining attendance like that. But I don't think this has helped. I don't think that the inconsistencies in this Bryan Danielson run over the last 6 months have helped AEW business, especially because he's been at the top of the card. I think he probably helped, you know, the Wembley Stadium show because he really put his career on the line and people bought that as a gimmick. But outside of that, I don't really think that there's been a huge amount of interest in this, you know, with him doing this. I know the I think it was the fifth year anniversary episode of Dynamite, which had the Okada versus Danielson match, did not do very well in terms of ratings. I think that was a really disappointing number. I think Grand Slam did okay, but it is part of that because the fans didn't really buy that Bryan Danielson was going to put his career on the line, or Bryan Danielson was going to have a really retire at the end of this episode of Dynamite if he lost to Kazuchika Okada. I don't think so. So, you know, that's part of it. And I think it's, you know, Moxley is getting this group off the ground where he's supposed to be like, probably like he's kind of presented as like the most evil group that we've ever seen in AEW, and they're running roughshod over everybody. And they ended Bryan Danielson's career and he got the world title. By the way, John Moxley, you know, was shooting down creative ideas, wanted out of his contract, you know, didn't want to come to work. And then there's a pitch for, hey, what if we put the world title on you and you get to beat up everyone and be the top villain in the company? And all of a sudden, oh yeah, I'm ready to come back to work. I like this creative idea, Tony, here I come. You know, he's probably getting a pass on that from a lot of people. And I really like John Moxley as a wrestler. I find his general takes about the wrestling industry refreshing, but at the same time, like, it's not a surprise that Moxley decided to come back to work when they decided to put the title on him and give him a giant push. Somehow that seems to always work with these guys, no matter what their personality is outside of the ring. So they're trying to get this Moxley group out of the ground. The main heat right now is that they, quote, you know, ended Bryan Danielson's career. But again, we don't really know what that means. So I think if this Moxley group kind of struggles to get off the ground, part of it is because the impetus for their major, you know, their major heat getting moment, which was beating Bryan Danielson, ending his career, stealing his world title. We don't really understand the ramifications of that because I don't think anyone really believes that Bryan Danielson is actually retired. And if he is, we don't really know what the pseudo retirement means. I think they are going to do Bryan Danielson versus John Moxley. I think Danielson's eventually going to come back and they'll do that as a kind of a major match where he wants revenge on John Moxley. That just seems so logical. And that will probably be a hot match when it comes back. It should be a hot match given the creative effort that went into it, the individual quality of each performer. But I just don't know, you know, if this angle Moxley is going to really get off the ground because of, especially when you're doing all these really heat heavy beatdowns and angles, if Bryan Danielson, who's been on the recipient of so many of them lately, isn't going to be selling them for a while because he also wants to wrestle all these dream matches back to back in back to back weeks like he did with McGuinness and Okada, then where are we really getting with this? So this might rankle some people. Some people might not be super happy with this take and they might think I'm stupid, but it's just a take I had. I wanted to get it off my chest. I wanted it to be made clear to people. And I thought that it was something that maybe people would be interested in hearing about, whether you agree or disagree. I'm sure I'll get some strong disagreement for this. And again, like, I really like Bryan Danielson. I'm not like a hater, but I felt like he's been really selfish over the last 6 months. And I feel like it's kind of undermined some of the logic of AEW. And we'll see where this goes with the Moxley angle. I think it's off to a promising start in a lot of ways. I liked what they did on Dynamite this past week, just kind of beating up people and running roughshod and kind of like shocking the Elite with how violent they were going to be. I think that sold kind of their demeanor more. But I don't know about it in the long run. I don't feel like it's really hot at the moment. And I think one of the reasons it doesn't feel really hot at the moment is probably because of the way Danielson has kind of handled his role in it. But now that he's off screen, maybe that will change. Although, again, I expect him to come back relatively soon. So thanks for listening, everyone. And I'll talk to you again after a while.
88% of the work week is spent communicating, typing, talking, and going back and forth on topics until everyone is on the same page. It's time for a change. It's time for Grammarly. Grammarly's AI ensures your team gets the point across the first time, eliminating misunderstandings and streamlining collaboration. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences. Whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon in just one click. 4 out of 5 professionals say Grammarly's AI boosts buy-in and moves work forward. It integrates seamlessly with over 500,000 apps and websites, is implemented in days, and is IT approved. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who trust Grammarly to elevate their communication. Visit grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly, enterprise ready AI.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.